All right. Welcome, everybody, to episode 16 of Unhacked. Starting today with a few technical difficulties because last week we didn't stream live, and so I broke all the streaming, and then I tried to connect again, and it didn't work. Damn it. Anyways, here we go. Episode 16, guys. So Unhacked is a podcast where we like to empower busy and overwhelmed business owners who may or may not be concerned about, you know, cybersecurity. They need to outsmart all these Russian hackers that are, coming for their bank accounts, their technology, their data. Ideally, we're going to help you safeguard your future. So that's what we are all about. There's a lot of noise out there in the world of cybersecurity, and so we're going to help you filter through it all, boil it down to the nuts and bolts where you're going to get the best ROI, bang for your buck in both time, money, effort, maybe a few less sleepless nights, and hopefully just instill a sense of hope, right? So because it can feel hopeless just a little bit. Let's do a quick introduction. Brian, if you'll go first, then Mario, who are you guys? What are you all about? Where are you from?
Sure. Brian Lashcroft with B4 Networks, based out of Ontario, Canada.
That's it, huh?
Mario. Okay,
that was quick.
That was quick.
You said quick.
Yeah, he caught me off guard with that one. Mario Zacchi, owner of Mastech IT. We are located in New Jersey, about 15 minutes away from Manhattan, 15 miles away from Manhattan, probably about 2 hours.
Yeah.
servicing the entire tri-state area.
And I'm going to keep bragging about you, Mario. You just won a national competition for the best IT company in this group of roughly 1,000 IT companies. So congrats. And it really is a privilege to hang out with you guys week after week. And I do feel like I grow smarter. My name's Justin Shelley. I am with Phoenix IT Advisors. We do business in both Nevada and Texas. So today, we're going to try to change up the format a little bit. We're going to try to be a little more concise, a little bit less wordy, and hopefully deliver a little bit more value and maybe get this into an average commute time rather than rambling for an hour as I continue to ramble. So jumping right in, today we're talking about one of the things that is most dear to me in the world of cybersecurity, which is culture. I think if we're going to win this battle, we are fighting major crime rings. This is not a game. It's not child's play. This is real stuff. And I think the only way we're going to do it, we can put all the technology in place we want, but it just takes one uninformed or well-meaning user to click the wrong thing or do the wrong thing and blow up the whole system, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about culture today. And we're each going to come with our own story, our own take on culture. And what I just really want to start with is that this is one of the weirdest things in society where the victims of crime are kind of presented as perpetrators. We get investigated, we get fined, we get sued when we're the victims of crime. This is a problem. As business owners, that's who we're talking to. And I will just for a second talk about myself as a business owner. I worry about this. I worry about what's going to happen if somebody gets into me, because it's just, I've got my business and of course I've got my clients I have to protect, but it causes me to not sleep at night. And so we're trying to take that burden from you, the other business owners out there, and give you that sense of hope. So with that, I'm going to stop rambling. And Brian, what I'd like you to do is just jump right in with what your take is on company culture as it pertains to cybercrime.
Great. So before I do that, I just wanted to touch base on what you just said. If Justin is losing sleep over this stuff, and he's an expert in cybersecurity and knowing exactly what it requires to be protected, you should be also losing sleep over this. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with my take on company culture with just a little bit of a story. So I want you to imagine you're stepping into a brand new job, right? You're an intern, you're new to an organization, and obviously you're eager and you want to make a great first impression. Now, I want you to imagine that you're within your first week, you received what you pertain as being like an urgent email from the CEO, right? Like big, bad, scary CEO. And they're demanding immediate action. Like they want you to do something right then and there. For us, this was the reality for one of the interns at a well-respected construction firm that we deal with. And they're known for their reliability, their standing in the local community. Well, this firm, although they're small, they got about 10 to 20 office employees. They built a solid reputation over the years. Their commitment to quality was a bar none, paramount, right? Yet beneath the surface, there lurked a little bit of a glaring oversight. So just jumping into what happened, the intern, acting on what she believed was a direct order from the CEO, was instructed to, of course, go and buy $5,000 in gift cards. We've heard this one dozens of times, right? This is an easy one, guys, right? Like, they people should know. But under the pressure of being told that, hey, you know, this is super confidential, I need you to do this right away, do not talk to anybody else in the office, especially, you know, XYZ name, and I won't mention the name in case that people can put two and two together. Anyway, it was only after the money was spent that the truth came to light, right? So this poor intern, she went and bought $5,000 worth of gift cards and provided it to the criminals. It was an innocent mistake by an unsuspecting, intern. It could have been a lot worse, right? Maybe they could have said, like, we need to connect to your computer to do some work or whatever, right? Maybe pretending to the IT company. So thankfully, as far as consequences go, though, the company managed to absorb the financial hit, reimbursing her for the $5,000. It did expose a very critical vulnerability in their cybersecurity practice and the lack of training. So it was a very eye-opening experience. It led to a swift overhaul of all of their security precautions, including mandatory cybersecurity awareness training for all of their staff, which I was very happy about. Strict verification process on any financial transactions. So a simple phone call to verify over the phone, like, hey, with a number, you know, by the way, I should add, not just the number they give you, verifying financial transactions verbally with somebody you know personally. And anyway, so the story just serves as a powerful reminder that just because you've heard it all and you've done it before, it doesn't necessarily mean your employees do. And so the security of your operations, the trust that your community has put into you as a business owner and as your clients have put into you is only as strong as your most vulnerable link, right? Don't wait until something happens. Don't wait until the crisis finds you before you start making some of these decisions on training. Assume at every point in time that you are potentially breached or going to be breached, and make sure that your staff are well informed every step of the way.
Yeah, for sure. Mario, you have any thoughts on that?
I do. And I know I get this question a lot, and you guys probably get the same question, is how are these people finding these new people that are working there? And it's actually very simple. What these hackers are doing is they're taking advantage of somebody being so proud that they got a new job at this company. They're posting it on social media, especially right. LinkedIn. They just got, either a promotion or they just got, accepted into this company that they wanted. So they're telling the world about it. And hackers are doing the same thing like we do. We're researching constantly. So what they're doing is they see, here's, some new fish in the pond. Let's see if we can catch it. And it works because the person at that point doesn't know, what they're really supposed to do. They get nervous. So they're going to try to cooperate with what it looks like is the right. CEO that just gave her a job. CEO. Yeah.
And the funny thing is that criminals they're using automation to find these people. They're not even like manually searching LinkedIn like we do. They're scraping that with automation tools. So.
Yeah. Yeah, their job has gotten a lot better or a lot easier since the emergence of AI.
Yeah,
for sure. All right. So and you're talking about end-user training, education, right? You've got new people that are coming on board. We're putting a lot of trust in them. We're giving it. We're empowering them. And then the end-user education. So my thought on that as you're talking about it is this is my most difficult sell to even to existing clients is to get them to do the end-user education, the training, because, I'll just be honest, I don't ever show up at work and think, I wonder what I'm going to do today with my time. I show up to work with a list of to-do tasks, a mile long, and that's just the to-do stuff, the noise. I've also got quarterly objectives. I've got annual goals I'm trying to hit. I've got people that are pinging. I show up so overwhelmed at work that the last thing I'm thinking is, how can I spend 5 more minutes running through a quick security tutorial?
Yeah.
You know, and I do hope that, you know, whether it's through this podcast or through culture, as we're talking about, somehow we can, you know, just find a way to tip that scale a little bit, just to get people constantly thinking about it. That is the point of the training. It's not like in these training modules, we're learning brand new stuff. Most of the time, it's just, hey, guys, let's think about this.
They call
let's
it awareness training for a reason.
Awareness, exactly.
Keep it right. top of mind on everything you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And they're doing training. You know, most of these places are doing constant training, you know, for their employees, either when they first get hired or just ongoing basis, you know, it's just one extra thing that they have to do.
So what I would say to that is training for the sake of training becomes noise. And what we really need to do is shift this to a mindset, to a culture where it's not another task. Like, this is who we are as an organization. We are a group that bands together, A, to take care of our customers, clients, patients, whatever we call them, and B, to protect the company, to protect our assets, to protect our identity. That is what we do as a culture, as a society. So it's not, you know, the HR director beating people over the head with a stick saying, you got to do your 5-minute training. It's the CEO coming in and saying, hey, you know what? I was watching that training that we all watch, and here's what I picked up. Yeah. Do you guys have any thoughts? You know, and so I'm going to take that and I'm going to segue into this is a story I've used in countless presentations. I don't generally like to call out specific organizations. I say that and then I always do it. So maybe I do like to call people out.
You do.
You know what? Hey, watch it. That was personal. That hurt. In my backyard, the city of Fort Worth back in 2019 got themselves into a little bit of hot water. And, you know, to tell the story, we have to back up 2 years. So in 2017, they went out and they hired, I'm just going to call him New Guy. And New Guy's job was to oversee data security. He had 20 years of experience. This wasn't a rookie. He knew what he was doing. And he came in and almost instantly he discovers that the city is 90% out of compliance with the industry standards. Like, and that's what we talk about week after week is the basics, the standards. I mean, it is a lot, right? But we're not talking about advanced level stuff. 90% out of compliance with the basics. He discovers that hackers had stolen $500,000, just over $500,000. And the fun one, he discovered that city employees who had a criminal record had somehow gained access to the FBI's Criminal Justice Information System database. So these are some glaring problems. And the, you know, New Guy goes to his superiors. He's like, hey, I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but I found some problems and here's how we fix them. And his superiors told him to sit down and shut up. This is where like culture just hits home for me. Right there. The proper approach, in my opinion, is, hey, New Guy, fantastic. And we are going to get our HR person, I'm sorry, our PR person and our attorneys, and we're going to get in a room and we're going to figure out how to present this to the public in a way that shows we're being proactive. But what they said instead was, this would require a public disclosure of the deficiencies, so we're not going to do shit. And don't you say a word, New Guy. You get back to your little corner.
Right.
And forget that we hired you to watch out for all this stuff. And he's like, screw that. And he files whatever with the Texas Department of Public Safety, becomes a whistleblower. Surprisingly, he gets fired. And then he turns around and sues the city. I mean, so this could have been headed off at the beginning by the culture, by the people at the top. But instead, it turned into a nightmare for everybody involved. Now, my disclaimer is I don't have any personal information here. I say this over and over. I'm reading news articles and I'm making my own assessments. There is another side to this. The city has their side. They deny most of this. Fine. And I'm not going to get into anything other than the story and the point it illustrates, which I have seen versions of this over and over in, you know, personally. We have, because we are portrayed as the perpetrators when we get hacked. We're the ones who have to face the press. We have to face our clients. We have to face the government. We have to face attorneys. Like, for fuck's sakes, we're not the bad guys. But here we are in the hot seat. And so when we find something, it was like, shh,
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Right. And that in my mind is the number one problem in cybersecurity. Thoughts? What do you guys think?
Oh, absolutely. You have no idea how many times I get calls from organizations or businesses where they've been compromised and they're trying to keep it on the down low because they're afraid of, you know, all the ramifications surrounding it. And, you know, there's disclosure rules. Like there's laws that surround all this that you have to disclose. And so keeping it hush hush is worse than the incident occurring in the first place, because now you're consciously making a decision to break the law, right? And so from my perspective, it would be safer to disclose and say, you know, hey, we're going to fix this. In fact, especially if you're in any kind of industry, who are you going to trust more? Somebody who went, we found this, we're disclosing it, and we're working to fix it, and it'll never happen again, or we're putting in these processes to hopefully allow it never to happen again, or the company that hides it and then they find out, like the public finds out, you know, months later or weeks later that it was found and not disclosed and they tried to hide it. Like, which one are you going to believe more in the future? Which organization are you going to want to work with in the future? Probably the one that was more open and honest and disclosed, right?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, in the end, the bigger problem that we can't fix is that there is financial and social reasons, motivations to keep this stuff quiet.
Absolutely.
Like, it's not just embarrassing. It comes with some serious penalties for the victims of crime. Mm-hmm. It's a really bad system we have set up, but, you know, give me another option. I don't know what it is because we can't find the bad guys. They're all hiding in Russia. Mario, you had some thoughts there.
Yeah. No, I agree. And knowledge is key. Like, you're doing a disservice to your customers if you're keeping things, you know, quiet. Like, you know, like the Home Depot that got hacked and, you know, I don't know how many million credit cards were leaked. You know, they owned up to it and people were aware, okay, I need to watch my credit card statements, you know, okay, this happened, you know. A lot of people understand the world we live in now, but they'll understand if something happens, but they don't get over the fact that you were trying to hide it from them or lie to them. They actually cling on to that more than the actual initial issue.
Yeah. And I mean, that it is a huge problem. And I want to point out the other problem of, you know, I would say that is the underlying problem, but it creates the real problem of we set up a culture within our organizations of hush, you know, because at the top they're hush, hush, like then throughout it's systemic. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, congratulations, thank you for pointing that out, let's get it fixed. We're like, shh. Don't tell anybody. And it's top to bottom a lot of times. And so, Brian, you're coming in to an organization, for example, and you're giving them training. And in the case you made, they had real reason. They've already got caught with their pants down-ish, right?
But it was relatively small. It wasn't actually a breach of security in the sense that, you know, somebody got in their systems.
Right. But it's hard for organizations who haven't been through something like that to say, hey, you know, to make that change. We're going to pivot. And we're going to go from this toxic culture of shut up, sit down, don't say anything to we're going to celebrate. We're going to give you a Starbucks gift card. I don't know, something. When you bring something to my attention that I missed, like we're going to celebrate that. And I will tell you, I tell my team that in weekly meetings, I'd say this, like if you're going to sit here and tell me what a great job I'm doing, I don't need you. Like, I already know I'm a badass. I don't need you confirming that. What I want you doing is showing me where I'm screwing up. Like, that's what I'm paying you for. And I don't know. Maybe it's an ego thing. But anyway, so that I really do believe that this is a huge, probably the number one problem we have to solve is this culture. So unless you guys have any more thoughts on that, Mario, why don't you go ahead and give your illustration?
So for my story was actually a prospect that we sat down with a couple months ago, and we did a security network assessment for them. And prior to actually running the test, they brought us in. Like, yeah, you know, we're currently working with somebody, and we're trying to reduce our IT costs. And, you know, they're telling me, oh, well, you know, our existing MSP is trying to get us to sign up for, you know, security training. They want us to use the, you know, their firewall. They want us to use, you know, two-factor authentication. And I'm like, okay.
They're all good things.
You know, I'm like, pause right there. I'm like, listen, you know, we can make this meeting much shorter if you want, because we're going to require a lot of those things ourselves.
Maybe more.
You know, and, you know, they're like, well, we're maybe open to it as long as it doesn't cost us like an arm and a leg, you know. And I'm like, okay, all right, you know, let's, you know, before we start talking costs, let's see what we're getting ourselves into. We do the assessment, we come back with them, and we're going all over, you know, the cost. Then, you know, we keep things very simple. We have like one main package, and everything that we're talking about, you know, we're going to enable 2FA, we're going to use our firewall, we're going to use this, we're going to use that, and we have everything itemized. And they wanted to say, well, they started saying, well, if we take this out, can we save any money? If we take this out, can we save any money? If we use the router that's coming from the internet service provider, can we save some money? I told them no. You know, I'm like, no matter if you do this or not, first of all, if you don't do it, we're not going to service you. If you, you know, if you somehow we do agree not to do it, it's going to be the same price. And the more I started talking to them, the more I realized it was all, you know, it was not that they were trying to be cheap, but they just felt like their security was not a priority for them. For them, it was saving a couple dollars here and there was their priority. And I told them, like, why do you not want to enable two-factor authentication? They're like, well, you know, some of our employees don't want to use their personal phones. And we were sitting in a glass conference room, and I looked out to my left. I'm like, I see two employees right now using their personal cell phones. They're probably even texting each other. I'm like, those same employees that don't want to use their personal cell phones are the ones using personal cell phones at the moment. And the more we started digging into it, it's like we just felt like from the owner down, he didn't want to actually put any of this culture in place. He didn't want to have security as a focus. He didn't want to have to make sure that their employees are well educated and well prepped. Later we discovered, like, it was, you know, they were sharing like serial number, you know, like software, you know, among each other and stuff like that. I think like three of them were working off their same email address and stuff like that. But you know, later on, we told them, like, listen, you know, we don't want, you know, unless you're willing to change this whole thing, we don't think we can service you, you know, and we, you know, because we don't want to sit there and fight, you know, every week or every month saying, hey, we need to enable 2FA. We need to enable 2FA. We need to update this. We need to purchase this, because we're not trying to fight and argue, you know, with each other. So I felt that it was like the culture of them was just not, you know, you need to be focused on protecting not only your company, protecting your employees, protecting your customers. And they didn't seem like they were aligned with that.
I wanted to add in a couple of things, Mario, because I think what you just talked about, you know, all the different pieces of the puzzle that you came up with, that you designed and engineered surrounding protecting your clients, has a lot of thought put into it, right? There's a lot of thought put in every single tool set that you use. And it's like when you go to a restaurant and you heard from everybody in town that this restaurant makes the absolutely best cake or dessert or whatever, and you're like, I'm going to go try that. And you get there and you're like, hey, can I talk to the chef before I order this thing? I want to see what the ingredients are, right? And then you talk to the chef and you're like, oh, I didn't realize you guys have flour in there. Can you take that out, right? Oh, I didn't realize you guys have this piece here. Can you take that out, right? You're not going to get the result of what everybody else was talking about, right? You're not going to get the result that you were expecting. And so when somebody says, like, I don't want these pieces in there, you're not going to get the result that we're promising and what our other clients experience, because if you don't have the puzzle pieces, you're not going to have that. You're not going to have the same experience. Not to mention, the way that most of our organizations work is that standardization brings down cost. And if you have something that's slightly off and or different than everybody else, now I have to actually charge more for that, not less, because that requires us to learn and support a different tool that we're not used to. So I just wanted to, like, reinforce that part.
No, that's true. Yeah. It's true. If you go into a restaurant and you tell them, oh, yeah, you know, I want you to add caviar to the side of my plate. Yeah, it's going to cost more, you know. I completely agree.
I love the recipe analogy, you know, because we do come with a result that really is what we should be focusing on. And so many times we get stuck in the weeds of what does this cost? What does that cost? How do we, you know, can we cut this? Can we cut that and still get the same result? So no, you can't, you know, you've got a baseline. And this is why we keep talking about industry standards. Like there are things that we just know we have to do to get us out of the low hanging fruit category. Yeah. Right. But the thing about it is like, we're not talking about a huge cost here. Yes, it costs money, but as a business owner, I'm looking at my P&L, cybersecurity isn't at the top. If I just, you know, sort it in a descending order by value, that's not at the top of the list. You know what is? Payroll. Mm-hmm. So we might be talking about, you know, the cost, maybe it's 1 or 2% of payroll. Maybe it's 3% of payroll. I don't know. What would it take for you to raise your prices by 1 or 2% or 3%? Is a client even going to know it? You know, you can find that money, but what's the real cost of a breach? You know, the cost of the prevention is pretty minimal when you look at it in comparison to your real expenses, you know, your payroll, your building costs, your, you know, all that. This is pretty cheap insurance, but the cost of a breach, I mean, it's game over in most cases. For most
of us, the price is less than between $1 to $2 per user, per hour. Right. When you think about it, like it's like the salary difference would be like so insignificantly minimal to protect.
Right.
People.
You could. Yeah. If you gave them a raise equivalent to the cost of, you know, protecting them and making them more efficient, it's not noticeable. That's the thing. That just drives me crazy. So what I would like to do, Mario, in your situation, if somebody's doing all that, I would love to just look them right in the eye and say, Mr. Business Owner, what's your resume looking like? You may want to brush that up because you're going to be fucked here pretty soon. Go start looking for a job. Good day, sir. Yeah. And turn around and walk out.
Yeah.
Like that's the stakes we're talking about. This isn't, I don't know. I'm going to take a breath, guys. And we're going to start winding this thing down. Cause like I said, we're going to try to keep these shorter. So let's run through Brian, Mario, then me, and we'll just do real quick key takeaways from today as far as culture goes. What can we learn? What does our business owner who's listening today need to know about creating a culture in their business that will protect them from this ongoing persistent threat of cybercrime?
Yeah.
Brian?
I'm going to wrap it up the same way I wrap up most of the calls, and that is if we go into everything we do in business, cybersecurity being one of them, with the intent that we are going to improve every single day by at least 1%, then we are going to make a huge, significant impact in the overall scheme of things, right? 37 times better by the end of the year after 365 days. So if we just look at it and say, hey, we're not asking folks to spend 5 hours in a cybersecurity seminar to figure out what's going wrong and what are the things they need to look at. Less than 5 minutes a day. In fact, most of our videos are coming in at like 3-4 minutes each per week, right? So very insignificant amount of time. And the idea is it builds upon itself over and over again, and we're just keeping that culture of getting better 1%. So get better 1% every single day, and you'll be amazed at the difference that one little change could make.
All right, Mario.
What I think is it needs to start from the top down. It needs it needs to start from the owners. I mean, we ourselves, you know, I pride myself. I've been doing this for 25 something years now. I have myself enrolled in cybersecurity training phishing training. And when I obviously, you know, I know that they're coming in. I don't know the exact day and time because we randomize it. But I do it myself. I lead not only my employees, I lead by example, but I lead my customers as an example. Like we want you guys to do is what we do for ourselves as well. You know, and we're not going to recommend something to you guys and think we're too good for it. You know, and, you know, every platform that is out there, the owner or the manager is able to see if their employees have clicked or have actually enrolled in the training, and they need to, like, you know, not yell at them, but like, listen, you know, we noticed you didn't watch, you know, do any of the training this month. You know, it's really important education, you know, that you expand on your education and learn about the stuff. There's some good stuff, just like Brian said, you know, make it like a game. Like, hey, did you guys see this, you know, the training this week? That was actually pretty interesting. You know, it has to come from the owner down. Otherwise, you don't expect your employees to actually do it. They're gonna follow you. You're their leaders, and you have to lead them in the right direction.
Yeah, I would agree with everything you guys have said. My best advice to business owners to create this culture, you know, like you said, Mario, you've got to start at the top. Put it, if you're having weekly meetings, put it as a line in your agenda, and come in with what you've learned. Ask questions about what they see. You know, what are you guys seeing in the news? What am I missing as a business owner? Where are my blind spots? You know, where do you think, based on the training you've taken, where do you think we're most likely to get hacked? How can I protect you? How can I protect your job, your information, your money, like I'm trying to protect mine? And just make that part of the dialogue all the time. I really think that is the best hope we have at fighting this, because if we aren't doing this, like, I don't really think we have a chance. And again, you better dust off your resume and start looking for another job, because you're not going to survive this. So the formula that, you know, everybody's got their take on it, right? But we have to assess. We've got to put the basics in place. We have to assess those on an ongoing basis. We have to know where our weaknesses are and fill those gaps. And then we wrap it up with a cybersecurity insurance policy. So our ongoing offer to anybody listening to this podcast, jump on unhacked.live and schedule one of these free assessments that we offer. And we'll give you that. We'll give you your gap assessment, you know, your roadmap, and tell you how to fix all this stuff, throw some insurance on it. And taking that, you know what? Go sleep easy tonight. So that's all I've got. Final words, Brian or Mario? Good.
No, everything looks good. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll wrap up. We'll see you guys next week. Take care.
Bye,
guys.